Al-Bayan Radio presents the following lesson live from Masjid Al-Azhar, Bilmo.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man ihtada bihuda, amma ba'd. Tonight we continue with the explanation of Kitab al-Tawheed from Sahih al-Bukhari. For the great Imam, Imam al-Bukhari rahmatullah alayh, and we take tonight the hadith of Jabir ibn Abdullah radiyallahu ta'ala anhu arda regarding the istikhara salah. And Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah mentioned this hadith in this chapter because it speaks about the qudra of Allah Azza wa Jal, His capability and His power. And as Jabir ibn Abdullah radiyallahu ta'ala anhu mentioned, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to teach them the istikhara prayer, or the istikhara dua, the way he will teach them a surah from the Qur'an. And that's to emphasize on its importance. And in the hadith, he taught us the dua of the istikhara, which is to be done after praying two rak'at, other than the obligatory prayers. But it is two separate rak'at that the person prays when he is seeking answer or an affair or a matter as to whether he should do it or not. And in the dua, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said in the opening line, O Allah, I consult you. O Allah, I consult you. So that is the translation of the opening statement of the dua for the istikhara. And what this means is, O Allah, I ask you to make clear and easy for me what is best for me. So when you say, Allahumma inni astakhiruka, O Allah, I consult you, you are asking Allah Azza wa Jal to make clear and easy what is best for you. Because that's the purpose of your istikhara, to be able to make the correct decision. And then after this statement, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in the dua, he mentioned why we resort to Allah. Why we resort to Allah Azza wa Jal in our istikhara. He said, because you have knowledge. Allah is the one with the ilm. And that's why we turn to Him in our affairs. And what this means is, O Allah, I ask you and I intercede with you through your attribute of knowledge. O Allah, I ask you and I intercede with you through your attribute of knowledge, that you direct me to what is best for me in what I want. That's what you're asking Allah when you pray the istikhara, that He directs you to that which is best for you. For Allah Azza wa Jal is the most knowledgeable and nothing is hidden from Him. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, and I appeal to you. And I appeal to you, astaqdiruka. And this means, I ask you, O Allah, to make me capable, to give me strength to do what I intend, and to grant me the asbab, the means to doing that. So this part of the istikhara dua, you are asking Allah Azza wa Jal to give you the strength to do what is best for you and to give you the means, the asbab, to achieve that which is best for you. بِقُدْرَتِكَ, with your ability and capability, O Allah. And this is asking Allah Azza wa Jal through His attribute, which is His Qudra. Meaning, you, O Allah, are the Qadir, the one who nothing is difficult for Him. So I ask you, O Allah, through this great Qudra, through this great ability and capability of yours, to grant me that which is best for me. And this part of the hadith or the dua is the proof that Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah used, biqudratika, because it is affirming the qudra for Allah Azza wa Jal, this attribute for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam continued in the dua, and this part of the dua is acknowledging and confessing the weakness of the son of Adam to his Lord to show that he is in need of Allah. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ said, "For you are able to do things while I am not." SubhanAllah, look how beautiful the istikhara dua is. You're surrendering your affair to Allah. You're praying the istikhara because you as a human are weak and you do not know what is best. And you're in two states of mind and you don't know where the khair is. So you are surrendering to Allah because Allah is all capable while you are not. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam again interceded through the attributes of Allah Azza wa Jal. And this means you, O Allah, have this complete ability which I am asking you through. Just as I ask you because I am weak. And I have no ability in performing anything unless you grant me the ability. And you alone know the outcome of all things. Why do we pray the istikhara? Because Allah alone knows the outcome of things. So we turn to Him. And nothing is hidden from Allah, from the past, the present, or the future. And Allah's knowledge covers everything, while I have no knowledge of anything except what Allah taught me. That's why we pray the istikhara. So you can see the istikhara in itself, why it is so important. It is full submission to Allah, complete submission, and surrendering your affairs to Him with pure tawheed. And that's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to teach them the istikhara the way he will teach them a surah from the Quran. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "And you, O Allah, know the unseen." Again, why do we pray the istikhara and resort to Allah for the decision? Because Allah alone knows the unseen. We do not, but Allah Azza wa Jal does. And this is specific to Allah. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, then he names the matter that he is seeking. The reason for your istikhara, you name it here in this part of the dua. Whether it's to marry this person, whether it is to travel to this particular place, or whatever it may be. You name the matter that you are seeking the istikhara for. And the reason why you actually name it, as the scholar said, is in order for it to be stronger in your request. It makes your request stronger. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, And if you know, O Allah, that this is best for me, both at present and in the future, and in my religion, and in this life, and the hereafter, then fulfill it for me and make it easy for me. O Allah, if you know with your knowledge and your ability and capability that this matter which I am praying the istikhara for is best for me in my present and future life, in my dunya and my akhirah, then make it easy for me and fulfill it for me. Meaning, decree it for me and allow me to be capable to achieve it. And allow me to receive it without any hardship. This is what you are seeking. Then the Prophet ﷺ said, and bestow your blessings on me in that matter. Meaning, O Allah, if this is good for me, allow me to achieve it, and once I've achieved it, put barakah in it for me. Look how beautiful the istikhara is. Full surrender to Allah Azza wa Jal. Meaning, place your blessings, O Allah, in this matter for me, which increases in blessings constantly. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, O Allah, if you know that this matter is not good for me in my religion and in this life and my hereafter, then divert me from it. Turn me away from it. Meaning, grant me the asbab, give me the means which divert my heart away from it. That's why the greatest sign of knowing the answer of your istikhara, if it is done correctly, is if Allah diverts the heart away from that matter, then that is the answer of the istikhara, that you chose not to go ahead with it. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, and grant me the khair wherever it may be. Decree for me what is best for me in my dunya and akhirah, wherever that is. So my brothers and sisters, when you are praying the istikhara, you do not ignore the answer that Allah Azza wa Jal gives you. You are only fooling yourself then, because the istikhara is surrendering to Allah. Whatever He chooses for you is what you accept. And if Allah chose for you that which you felt in your heart you did not want, then you still ask Allah Azza wa Jal to grant you the khair wherever it may be. And Allah will always choose what is best for you if you are sincere. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, and make me be pleased with it. Allow me to be pleased with your decision, O Allah. And how beautiful is this? Meaning, make me pleased with your decision, convinced and my heart settled. Your heart is comfortable with the decision of the istikhara, with no need of your creation. We are not resorting to the creation here, we are resorting to the Creator. And allow me to be thankful to you and pleased with what you have decreed. How strong and powerful is the istikhara dua? It's amazing. Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah, he intended with this hadith to affirm the qudra of Allah Azza wa Jal, because the dua of the istikhara consists of the qudra of Allah Azza wa Jal. And Allah's qudra is general and it covers everything. And this is a refutation against the deviant sect known as the Qadariya, who denied the qadr of Allah Azza wa Jal, them and the Mu'tazila. Two deviant sects who denied the qadr of Allah Azza wa Jal. The Qadariya are a sect who claimed that Allah Azza wa Jal does not know what occurs until it happens. Allah does not know what will happen until it happens. So they denied Allah's qadr and they denied his knowledge. And the late Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum refuted the Qadariya for their deviant sect, for their deviant belief. Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah then moves on with the next chapter, where he said, بَابُ مُقَلِّبِ الْقُلُوبِ وَقَوْلِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى وَنُقَلِّبُ أَفْئِدَتَهُمْ وَأَبْصَارَهُمْ. Imam al-Bukhari, in this next chapter, he says, مُقَلِّبِ الْقُلُوبِ, the one who turns the hearts, the one who turns the hearts. And then he quoted the verse where Allah Azza wa Jal says, and we turn their hearts and their vision. And we turn their hearts and their vision. One of the ulama by the name of Ar-Raghib, rahimahullah, he said, turning something is to change it from one position to another. Turning something is to change it from one position to another. And Allah is the turner of the hearts. And Allah Azza wa Jal turning the hearts is changing them from one position to another, from misguidance to guidance, or from guidance to misguidance, from light to darkness, darkness to light, or whatever else. Allah Azza wa Jal is the turner of the hearts. He turns them however He pleases. Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, he said, when the mushrikeen rejected what Allah sent down, their hearts never settled on one thing. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, he said, when the kuffar of Quraysh rejected Allah's deen, their heart never settled on one thing. And that's a punishment from Allah, that their heart is constantly changing and switching from one thing to another. And that's why it was from the dua of the Prophet ﷺ, oh Allah, keep my heart steadfast on your religion. And that is the sign of success, that the heart is not constantly changing in its ways. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informs us that He punishes those who reject the truth by turning their hearts away and leaving them blind. From Allah's punishment to those who reject the truth is that He turns their hearts away from the truth and He makes them blind. As Allah Azza wa Jal says in the translation of the verse, so when they deviated, Allah deviated their hearts. See? Allah Azza wa Jal does not just deviate hearts for the sake of it. No, Allah is not an oppressor. Look what Allah says. When they deviated, Allah deviated their hearts. It is from themselves. It is from their own doing, their own hands, that they were led astray. And when they rejected the truth, Allah diverted them even further. Imam al-Bukhari, rahimahullah, with this chapter, he wanted to show that Allah Azza wa Jal alone controls the affairs. Allah is the controller of the affairs, even regarding the hearts of His servants. Allah controls them. And this is a dalil for His complete power and strength. Then Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah mentioned the first hadith in this chapter, where he said, عن عبد الله قال أكثر ما كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يحلف لا ومقلب القلوب. عبد الله, and this is Ibn Umar رضي الله تعالى عنه, he narrated that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم used to frequently make the oath, no, by the turner of the hearts. لا ومقلب القلوب. No, by the turner of the hearts. And Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, he also mentioned that the yameen of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his oaths, was this: by the one who turns the hearts. And these hadiths are proof that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala controls the hearts, and He turns them however He pleases. And this is from His complete ownership, and no one can challenge Allah Azza wa Jal in His actions or in His ownership. And this shows that the servant is in need of his Lord. We are in need of Allah Azza wa Jal. And we cannot succeed unless Allah helps us. And the servant is in need of Allah guiding him and keeping him firm on the straight path. And the fact that the hearts are controlled by Allah Azza wa Jal, this does not negate the fact that the servant has been obligated to worship Allah and that he has free will. Yes, Allah is the controller of the hearts, but you have the complete free will and choice to choose your path. Otherwise, this will be oppression from Allah Azza wa Jal, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does injustice to no one. In Sahih Muslim, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in the hadith, verily, the hearts of the son of Adam are between two fingers from the fingers of Ar-Rahman as one heart. The hearts of all of the son of Adam are between two fingers of Allah Azza wa Jal, just as if they are one heart, all of their hearts between his fingers like one heart. He changes them however he pleases. Then he said the dua, Allahumma musarrif al-qulub, sarrif qulubana ala ta'atik. O the one who turns the hearts, turn our hearts to your obedience. But Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah wanted to show us that Allah is the owner of everything and the controller of everything, even the hearts of the servants. And this is from the belief of Tawheed. Then Imam al-Bukhari moves on with the next chapter, And he says, Babu inna lillahi mi'ata ismin illa wahida. Chapter, Allah has 100 names less one. Allah has 100 names less one, meaning 99. And Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah, his intention here, rahimahullah, is to prove that it is obligatory to affirm Allah's names. Imam al-Bukhari has now given a chapter titled Allah has 99 names. And the reason why he put this chapter is to teach us that these are names and attributes of Allah which you must affirm. And it is obligatory to affirm Allah's names which have been affirmed in the Quran and the Sunnah. And this is from the Tawheed, which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made clear and called his ummah to believe in. As Allah Azza wa Jal says, وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى فَادْعُوهُ بِهَا. And to Allah belong the best names, so invoke Him by them. Call Him by them. And this verse is amazing. Allah Azza wa Jal says that to Him belongs the best names, so call Him by His names. Then what does Allah say directly after that? He says, and leave the company of those who deviated regarding His names. It's in the verse. And leave the company of those who deviated regarding His names. This shows that Allah Azza wa Jal always knew that there will be people who will deviate in His names and His attributes. From Quraysh and onwards. And what did Allah command us? Stay away from these people. Stay away from those who cause corruption in Allah's names and His attributes. Allah says about them, they will be recompensed for what they have done. Allah, they will face Him in the next life for what they said about His names and His attributes. And this verse and other verses are proof that it is obligatory to believe in Allah's names and His attributes, which indicate to His greatness. Every name of Allah Azza wa Jal is an indication to His greatness, which is what makes all of His names husna, the best of names. For example, His name Al-Alim indicates to His vast knowledge, which covers everything, and nothing is hidden from Him. Allah's names are perfect, and the attributes consisted within the names are perfect, and there is no imperfection in them whatsoever. Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu then said, and Imam al-Bukhari has added this to the chapter, he said, Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma said, Dhul Jalal al-Azama, the owner of greatness, Al-Bar al-Latif. Dhul Jalal is the owner of greatness. Ibn Abbas is speaking about Allah Azza wa Jal. So Allah is the owner of greatness, the one whose greatness is not compared to anything else. And Al-Bar, the one who does good to his creation, the one who does ihsan to his creation. And this is one of Allah's names. And it means the one who does good to his creation without having a need for anything in return. Because this is Allah, He is not in need of anyone or anything. So He does complete ihsan towards His creation without having any need of them whatsoever. Insha'Allah, next week we will take the first hadith in this chapter, the hadith of Abu Hurairah radiyallahu ta'ala anhu wa arda. Wallahu a'lam wa sallallahu wa sallam wa barak ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.
This program was presented by Al Bayan Radio, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah.